Hello, everybody. My name is Atticus.
And my name is Hope.
And you are now watching
The White Refrigerator. Welcome back, y'all.
So thank you guys so much for joining us again, where we're keeping you fresh in a world of mess.
And helping us feel better together, because Lord knows we need it.
Lord knows we need it. Friend, how has your week been?
My week has been pretty chill, actually. Like, I was having a few issues at work, but we got them resolved pretty quickly. I'm starting to really feel the role now, so I think I'm starting to understand how to, like, use the time that I have, and you know, it's a very high production type job, like, very high. I'm finally, like, figuring out how to make that work for me. Home is home. Nothing really new there. No new music, I don't think, this week. TV, however, I've been watching a lot of TV shows, so I finally finished Harlem. Like, you know, it typically has a 6 episodes, so that's what it ended season 3 on, and this is like the finale. So no more renewals, this is it. But I'm okay with how it ended. I particularly like Ty and Quinn's ending, made me very happy, and I like Angie's too. Camille's, so I'm not mad at Camille. I thought it was really sweet. And then they brought it back full circle. I was pleased.
I was about to say, did she get, like, is it some getting what she deserved? Because we know. Can't say too much.
Yeah, you'll have to watch it, friend. I've been watching Invincible too. Invincible's back. And for those who don't know, it's like this comic book story. They turn into animation. It's really good. It's actually really good. And there's this new show. What is it called? Common Side Effects. It's an Adult Swim feature, and it comes on HBO, because I think HBO or Max now, whatever the hell they want to call themselves. Max and Cartoon Network are partner, but it is a really, really interesting show. It's essentially about this, like, hippie white guy who's, like, really smart. He looks for medicinal plants, so, like, natural herbs and stuff, but he finds this mushroom.
Crap.
No, this mushroom is amazing. Like, it cures anything. It'll bring you back from the dead. Like, it's super...
Oh.
It's super cool, but, like...
You found the Lazarus mushroom.
Essentially, yes. And, like, And he wants to help people, but, like, Big Pharma is chasing him. So, like, I like how they did it. It's got a really interesting kind of, like, I can't explain it. I like it. And then, of course, like I said, I've been watching Unrivaled. I've been talking about that for the last couple of weeks. I think it's getting ready to wrap up here in about a month. That's been fun to watch. I've actually been watching things again. I know for a while there, I didn't have any recommendations for TV because I really don't watch TV like that, y'all. But I'm trying to do better, like watch more distractions for distractions. So watch more TV and less social media. I think that's pretty much it for me this week. Just like I said, it's kind of just been like coasting along. I watched and enjoyed the Super Bowl as well. I'll talk about that a little bit later. But Yeah, that's my week in a nutshell. What about you, friend?
My week has been pretty good and uneventful as well, which uneventful is good around these parts. I like that. There definitely hasn't been any new music. There's been a lot more listening to, like, old Destiny's Child songs for whatever reason. I guess it was that tweet from last week that you showed me, because what do you mean?
Devastating.
Yeah, what do you mean? She was a part of a group.
You want to feel old, but, y'all? The tweet, it was, yes, a tweet or Instagram post. It said, I guess this had to be a Gen Alpha or a much younger Gen Z, or It was like, Beyonce was in a girl group?
Beyonce was a part of the girl group. A girl group? The girl group. What do you mean? But I get it. I get it. I know I'm 92 years old now. I understand. But yeah, I had to go back and revisit that. And my favorite album from them is probably still The Writings on the Wall. I enjoy that album a lot. Between that one and Destiny Fulfilled, those two are my favorite. I like Survivor a lot. But Writings on the Wall and Destiny Fulfilled were definitely...
I was going to say, for me, it's definitely Writings on the Wall, too.
Yeah. Probably because it had that... Was that a 90s album? Was it early 2000?
I feel like it was...
It might have been right, 99, 2000.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like it was like that cusp of 99. Yeah, yeah, that sounds about right.
Because it had a very 90s R&B feel. But other than that, definitely not any new TV. So let me tell you about today for him. So you know I was supposed to be getting... There's a company here called Brightspeed, and they're the first in the area to bring fiber internet. Nice. And I was super excited about that. So when they first came, it wasn't available in my area. Check back 6 months later. Okay, it's there for my address now. Set up the appointment for today, window between 8 and 12. Is normal for any service company, right? That's not something that's abnormal. They usually don't get here until the later part of that, but it's whatever. That's what you expect. So yesterday, I called them because I had changed my number from the time I actually signed up to the date. So I was like, I need to give them the new number just in case they need to call me. Gave them the new number yesterday. Today comes, don't hear from nobody. 12. 12:30. Don't hear from nothing. Call them. Okay, I have this appointment today, 8 to 12. Nobody's here. I updated my new number. Is someone going to be on the way? Yes, they're on the way. They're probably just a little bit late. I'm going to send a message to your rep. Okay. 12:30 turns into 1. 1 turns into 2. And at 3 o'clock, I was like, all right now, goddammit. So I call back. It is 3 o'clock. I work in customer service, so I'm not going to be cussing nobody out on the phone. But I'm like, okay. Right. The window was between 8 to 12. It is now after 3. No one's here. I hadn't heard from anybody. She's like, oh, okay. I see here that it says your address is like a design engineer. Someone has to come to your address to make sure that it's eligible for service. And I was like, how long has that note been on the account? She's like, it looks like it was put there a week ago. I talked to somebody earlier today. Not earlier today. Well, earlier today and yesterday. Nobody said anything about this. So I'm like, okay, you mean to tell me I done wasted my whole day being here when I had shit I could have been doing, but I've just been here waiting on y'all all goddamn day. Okay, but so what I need you to do is just cancel the order for me. I honestly don't want it anymore because I work from home. I use my internet. And if this is how y'all communicate, I don't need no parts of this. Right. Like I need somebody who's going to be here. Please don't cancel. Give us a chance to make this right.
I've been begging. It's like
that's literally what it was. And I was kind of surprised myself because I'm like, don't be begging nobody. You want to cancel? Okay. Sure.
Child.
give me just a second to get this process for you. But I was like, I honestly really don't want it. It's just like, what if we give you a free month of service? It's like, no, not really. But if you can give me 3 free months of service, then maybe I'll give it a chance. And they really got me 3 free months of service. Now, friend, if it turn out that they actually can and they give me 3 free months of service, I got half a mind to call and complain some more to get it up.
You know what? I work from home. Now, y'all, I done cut my other service off. Right. Now I ain't got no service. I'm going to be unemployed. See,
that's it right there. That is it right there.
Oh, they used to hit us with that.
I need another 3 months. Matter of fact, I don't need to pay anything until February 12, 2026 because of this. That's how this needs to work. But yeah, other than that, it fucked up my plans a lot. And I was trying to get like out of the mindset, okay, this is just a moment. This don't need to be the whole day, but it kind of really did fuck up the whole day.
Yeah.
So I'm still a little bit mad about it and irritated, but it's okay. It's over now. Breathe. Do what you can and move forward.
It's over. And now.
Also, you wore your glasses. I love it. I love when you wear your glasses.
Listen. And y'all, I apologize. So, like, I decided to upgrade my camera. So, in order for me to upgrade my old camera, I had to sell it and combine my doll hairs together to get my new camera. And, of course, these things take time. So, this week and possibly even next week, you may see me just on my regular, smegular MacBook camera. It ain't great, but it works. Also,
that's how we started. Or yeah. I think I was on it the first few times.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I got my camera in time for the beginning of season two. But, I mean, it works. Y'all mm-hmm. see me. And, yeah, I got my glasses on today. Wasn't nothing fancy happening today. Brent, I think the FBI finna get me, but I have to tell you about that later.
What have you done?
I didn't do anything. I'm scared to talk about this on the internet. Listen.
The White Refrigerator. Let's go ahead and move into the top show. I don't know if you've seen this video, this White House press conference of the muskrat, his son, and the orange peel.
I have not. I've been trying to avoid every single thing I can from the White House, friend.
Friend, why was that little boy, the muskrat's little boy, in the Oval Office? Allegedly, because I couldn't hear him clearly. But it sounded like he was saying to the orange peel, "You're not the president. You need to go away."
What?
And then told him... And the orange peel wasn't even talking. But he was like, "You need to shut your mouth." Now that part, please, shut your
mouth. What is happening?
Now, if he was indeed saying the things that it looked like and sounded like he was saying, what would that tell you?
I mean,
where would he get that from? Where would a fucking 5 or 6 year old hear that from?
I mean, I've already spoke my piece on that. I've said... From the time he got in, that he is a, you know,
a puppet.
One of my favorite groups of people is Geminis, but it's I don't know what the hell is going on. Okay, obviously we have our Addy here. That's my most favorite Gemini. Okay, but it's two Geminis. It's three Geminis. It's been a Gemini attack. Okay. You got that orange banana peel in the office to whom, which is a Gemini, who's just like been us. Terrorizing folks.
They not like us.
And then this other Gemini that, I'm just going to redact his name, friend, but Mr. Best.
I don't even know what that was about. That was the weirdest shit that ever did happen.
Y'all,
and it was so out of the blue.
That's my point. So listen, y'all, we're gonna have to accept the fact that the man that we once knew and loved, that rapper, is gone. We're going to have to actually accept the fact that what once was will never be again. And I know that sucks because Black people, we don't typically, you know, once we have something, we don't like to let it go. The thing is, who that is now is not what was happening before, and it's time we ignore him, like actually ignore him. And I feel like I'm not saying he doesn't have mental health because he clearly has mental health issues. But what I am saying is he feeds off of the attention. And it's time to just stop entertaining. It is clearly time to stop entertaining this man. He's not well. He is sick in the head. And Yeah, he's a genius. Sure. Okay, that's not enough. That's not enough anymore. Yeah, he made great music. Awesome. That's not enough anymore.
That we still have and we'll still be able to listen to forever.
Yeah. And ignore. I can't even listen to it anymore. I was a huge Kanye West fan. His first two albums, College Dropout and Late Registration, when I tell you some of my favorite albums of all time, I cannot listen to them in good mind and have any type of peace. Because it's just like, this person is not what is happening today. And it's just like, ugh.
I cannot listen to them and have peace.
Yeah, it's just like, damn, bro, this is so disappointing. Like, ugh. But on to the other Gemini. First of all, I love that this pissed white people off so bad. And I'm not, and I just want to mention something. When I say white people, first of all, I'm black. Y'all know what the fuck I mean. Because y'all crack black jokes all the time. But when I mean white people, I'm obviously not talking about all white people. I know all white people aren't racist or have, I know this. But I'm talking about the ones who are. I'm talking about the ones who very much so make it a thing about their whiteness. But to those people, I quite cackled and enjoyed myself. Mad as fuck. I can only imagine Donald Trump sitting there and then immediately walking out when he saw what Kendrick was putting down. Because I was like, he said, y'all, what did he say? He said, y'all got the right time, but the wrong guy.
Wrong. Mm-hmm.
Listen,
and meant it.
Y'all already know I'm Kendrick biased. I've been a Kendrick fan for a very long time, since like 2011, if not longer, maybe even 2010. I have my biases, but I enjoyed it. You know what it gave me? It gave me like your granddaddy from the 70s. He had on them tight ass bell bottom pants.
Jeans was fitting.
Not fitting, Brent.
They was fitting real, real nice.
Listen, little thickums out here.
Jeans. It's like, wow, okay.
Dead. I mean, he be working out all the time. I'm pretty sure he's ripped up under them clothes. But child, when I tell you, it's something about him that gives me them niggas from even the 60s. Like, they used to have them slick backs. But hey, bitch! And slap the shit out of you. Like, listen, y'all
would.
Just because them niggas was wearing tight clothes and crop tops, they would knock your ass into the middle of next week. Them is the right OG gangsters. This nigga came out like an OG gangster in the bell bottoms. Yes, yes. I was like, he is giving me somebody's uncle with them tight ass pants on that will absolutely knock your head in between the washer and dryer. Also, the diabolical, say Drake.
That was crazy. It was haunting too, the way he was like, hey Drake. I hear you like him young. Directly at the head. And I know Drake was watching.
Somebody said that this Super Bowl was the anti-biracial bowl, and I could not listen. The amount of jokes that I've seen in the last couple of days has made me cackle from the inside out.
Friend, and the fact that everybody on the Eagles is just fine as hell. That was crazy. Never in my life.
Friend,
didn't even
listen.
Know that many beautiful people could just exist in one area, like on a single team. Like,
that's what gagged me. Was
God.
Was the loss. I was like, y'all didn't just lose. You got your asses whipped. Like this... Y'all was down 30 something points. It was like 33-0 at halftime. Nigga. They came back and scored one more touch. They didn't even give a fuck. They didn't care no more. They knew they won. I love to see it. I love to see it. I don't know if you've seen this video going around, but it done went viral. First of all, they was in New Orleans. So you already know the voodoo hoodoo be going on there. There's this video on this white woman with a Patrick Mahomes a doll, and she's sitting there pinning the shit out of.
No,
I'm gonna find it and send it to you. I was like, oh my god. I was wow. like, they hated so
you
that.
Will not know peace in New Orleans.
Listen, they said we gonna make sure. I can't. You know what? This Black History Month has been. It's been quite a nice Black History Month, but
it's been phenomenal.
Back to that orange peel, because we still redacting his name every time we say it. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, friend, in true Gemini fashion, he's going to eventually be like, you know what? Nope. And I'm telling you now, because it's already happening. The maggots are losing their damn mind. I wish I hadn't voted for him. I didn't know this was going to happen.
You knew. You just didn't think it was going to happen to you. You thought it was just going to happen to everybody else.
You know what's funny about this? And it's not funny, but it's funny to me. I've heard people say this was like filling an open book test, but I don't even think it's quite that simple. This was like filling an open book test that the whole class was taking.
It's true.
Like, everybody could have just grabbed a page and just read, hey, you take page 82, you take page 101, and then we could have just passed the test.
And actually, the answers are on the board up here, too.
Been here.
The answers are right here. You can read them. Y'all don't even have to do all that. You could just read them, and we can get this right, which I still...
I feel like I was in a class with Peter Griffin, Patrick Starr, and Homer Simpson. All right, y'all, the correct answer is no to tears.
I like rocks. I wanna...
Oh, my God.
Who ate my chocolate? Who ate my candy?
Just, no, Patrick. Homer, what are you doing? I'm gonna do. Oh, my God. We finna die. That's what it feels like. So it's just, I don't feel bad for y'all. I don't feel bad for y'all. I think it's just going to be pure chaos because they going to feel betrayed. Trump going to get fed up with Elon. I'm telling you, Elon is petty. He going to probably try to air out his shit. I think Elon would absolutely sink Trump without trying to manipulate a way that it wouldn't affect him. But I think he would absolutely sink him if he turned on him. So I just have a feeling that all hell is about to break loose. I give it 2 years tops.
I was
being generous. I give it 2 years tops. I just don't think this has been the last long. And honestly, I love to see it. I can't wait. I can't. The way America is going at the current moment, we cannot sustain this. It's not meant for us to sustain. We cannot live like this in a society and function and be healthy. It's not going to work. So at this point, I'm just waiting for it all to crash. I'm waiting for it all to crash. Hell, I'm Black. I'm Black. I'm queer. I'm mask presenting. I check all the boxes of the others, bitch. Mm-hmm. I have been here for 37 years and been fine, and I'm going to continue to be fine.
What'd you say?
So
and the fact that y'all on here crying now, shaking, throwing up, tired. I'm glad you finally got there. I'm glad you're there, but we all know it's there because it's only because it's happening to you. You didn't care if it was just happening to Mexican, Black people, gay people, everybody else, other. You didn't care. You just didn't think it would happen to you. But no, bitch, we're all in this together. He told you we were all in this together, but you.
And that's why I said
he said it with a straight face.
Friend, if I say I'm going to shoot you when I see you. When I walk up to you and shoot you, why are you surprised? No, I can't. Call an ambulance.
You shot me.
I'm going to shoot you again for being stupid.
You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't.
Listen, that is exactly what I'm just like. I don't.
When someone shows you who they are, believe them.
I just
the podcast.
I'm just saying, I really don't understand how y'all don't understand. And I'm just like, you know what? What the fuck ever, dude? I don't feel bad for you. Best of luck. You'll figure it out. You'll figure it out.
That's literally all you got for it. It hurts. I mean, it sucks. It sucks to suck because everybody's going to feel it. It hurts. It literally is going to hurt every last one of us. But
right,
it is what it is now, I guess.
And
unless we rise up.
So, listen, I'm telling you, people are a different type of tired nowadays. Like, I've said this before. I don't know if I talked about it on the show, but I know me and Atticus have talked about it personally. When you start affecting people's quality of life, that's when shit is going to start shaking. Because it's like, okay, I'm working two jobs, or I'm a college graduate and I'm coming out of school, barely making what I'm supposed to be making with my degree. My rent is $2,000. Utilities is $300. My paychecks is barely $3,000. I got a car note, maybe, unless I'm in a big city and I can take a bus. By the time you start looking at everything, and then they got the nerve to ask people why they don't want to have kids, bitch, I can't afford them.
I can't afford them. And who wants to bring a child? Not only am I going to bring a child into a world where I can't give them what they need, but I'm going to be stressed out giving them what they need. So now neither one of us have what we need.
And as they say, it takes a village to raise a child. There is no more village.
There is no more village.
There is no more village.
The village is online, and online is the fucking crazy place.
Like, unless you have, like, close-knit community and family, there is no more village. And, like, people just don't genuinely... You want people to bring kids into the world, but you're talking about taking away school lunch. You want people to bring kids in the world, but you don't want to ban high-powered rifles. And here's the thing. I'm not even one of those people that say ban all guns. Because you best believe if you come and step to me crazy, I'm shooting you right in your fucking kneecap. I'm finna blow that bitch loose. But
I honestly don't believe most people are banning all guns.
I think most
people are for, like, common sense gun laws.
There we go. Even Kamala said that they remember that interview. So she was like, oh, no, I got a gun. Mm-hmm. Like
nobody's trying to take your gun.
People ain't. It's like, why do you need a high powered rifle, though? That's the question. Why do you need a military grade weapon as a regular civilian person? That doesn't make sense to me. Like, you are a regular civilian, the average Joe working at the fucking post office. Why do you need an AK-47?
Because you're a fucking terrorist.
There we go. So it's just like, you want me to bring a kid into the world or bring kids in the world, or you want to try to get, you're not, and then y'all talk about honoring traditional values. Can y'all stop blaming stuff on Christians and Christianity? Because at this point, even they're divided. Like, you got some Christians that's like, Jesus would absolutely hate this. And then you got the other ones that's like, this is what, and it's just like,
all of the most terrible shit in the world has happened because of Christianity. It's crazy.
Religion in general. I don't even just blame it on Christianity. Religion in general. And it's just like, at what point do we just do better? But anyways, that's a whole nother ramble situation. I'm kind of getting to the point where I could just, like, careless. I'm just like, dealing, okay, what happens? How do we fix it? What do we do? Are we protesting? Are we tearing up the White House? What are we doing?
When everybody else is ready, I'm ready. I ain't gonna do it by myself because they just gonna lock my ass up. Everybody ready, I'm with you.
I'm down for whatever at this point. You let me know. Let's bring the Black Panthers back, y'all. Let's bring the Black Panthers back. Why not? Back. But yeah, that's all I got for Top Shelf, y'all. I didn't even know nothing about Elon and that baby. I did see something where, what's her name?
That was funny.
I don't know if they still together or not, whatever that girl's name, Grimes, was saying that she didn't want her child there anyways. Which I was like, okay. Because I have a whole theory about him bringing his kids up there like that and them being that small. I said he using them babies as a human shield.
I think the same thing, because we ain't see them babies until that thing happened with that healthcare CEO dude. Now all of a sudden you got your babies everywhere with you. Which, newsflash, don't I honestly feel like if anyone wanted to do that to you, they would not care.
I don't want to say
as horrible as that sounds. I mean,
he finna fuck around and find out in real life. You're again, my quarrel has been now quite some time with like politics in general, but especially with the Democrats. And don't get me wrong, y'all know, well, anybody listen knows good and damn well I'm not no Republican. But because I align more with the Democratic Party in a sense, like a lot of their beliefs kind of mirror my own. Even though I'm far more of like independent, like I just, I vote for who's best. But that being said, I just feel like they could have already done so much and they didn't do anything. And I'm like, girl, this is actually your fault. You could have prevented this.
And not only that, but y'all, now y'all really got to stop going on whatever platform you're going on. See, they won't even let us in the building. Girl, what are we supposed to do? Y'all the ones we call. What are we supposed to do? They're not letting you in the...
If you don't bust...
Shut up. Don't tell us. This makes it look worse.
If you don't bust that motherfucking door down... I need y'all to get some balls.
Because obviously, they don't play fair. They're not playing by the rules. So what's the point of continuing to try to play by the rules when they are going to ignore them?
And here's the thing. I actually think the opposite. Play by the rules, but do it smart. Y'all are smarter than them. We all know that they're smarter than them. And I'm not saying all Republicans are dumb, but I'm saying the ones in the White House, I can guarantee you that the average Democrat is far more intelligent than the average Republican in either one of the House of Senate or Congress, any of them. That being said, you understand how the laws work. Use that to your advantage. Make that the most advantageous to you. That's how Barack was able to do a lot of the things that he was able to do. He was already an attorney. He understood how things work. So when it was presented a certain way, he knew how to rebuttal because he had already understood exactly what was what and what pieces were in play for the chess game. Do the same. Y'all can absolutely outsmart these people. Morning, noon, and night. Use that to your advantage. Make them end up turning on themselves. This is far easier than you think it is because of the type of people that they are.
That's true. I get what you're saying. I guess mine is like, there's already been judges that have told him, you can't do what you're doing. Stop this. Right. And they just continue. Because what is there to stop them other than you saying? Like, it's almost like a small child or a cat, I guess. Like, don't knock that shit over. They're just like, don't knock that over. What you gonna do, bitch? Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
And then exactly. They do it, and then really, like, what do they even do after that? Oh, he did it.
I mean, luckily they blocked some stuff he's already tried to do. Thank God for that. But it's just like, okay, and that's what I'm saying. These are the ones who are smart, though. They understand. Use this to your advantage. We know these. Look at Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Let's not.
That bitch is dumb as a hallway.
She looked.
Like Hulk Hogan?
Yes, Ms. Trunchbull, sir.
Every time I see Marjorie Taylor Greene, I want to just go, oh, brother. She looks like.
She, I don't know.
It's a whole
bunch of them. I'm pretty sure some aliens reside in the Republican Party. Some of them people don't look like people.
It's a whole bunch of them that are just dumb. Use this to your advantage. You are smarter than them. Outsmart them. And also, though, I'm with Addie. Nigga, fuck them rules. Like, at the end of the day, no, you're going to have to step. You're going to have to do better. But like I said, I honestly think this shit finna crumble from the inside out. I really do. Now, what the Democrats do with it after that is gonna be up to them. Because like Addie said, y'all putting it all on us, nigga. We voted you in this bitch. Do your job. But I don't know. We'll see. Time will tell.
Another thing I just want to point out. This is just, I'm going to ramble for just a second. Let just like out. My way of thinking. When it comes to like military personnel, the police officers that are up there and around that, the members of Congress, the Republicans that are not MAGA Republicans, Democrats, Secret Service, FBI, CIA, everyone, we all have a choice, right? The only authority anyone has over us is what we give them. Nobody can tell me what to do. I mean, you have rules and laws that can tell me I can't go do something, but if I wanted to, bitch, there's nothing you could do to stop me because I am a person and I have my own mind and free will. Do stuff.
Yep.
So with that being said, if you know something is wrong, and this is like for all of them, like, you know, this is wrong. I understand you have like a family to take care of, but I feel like it's enough of y'all that know that this stuff is wrong, but you just continue to like follow orders because this is what I'm supposed to, you know, do.
Right.
You have a choice. And I feel like that choice is what's going to like make or break everything. Like, you can make the right choice. You can. You have that ability. I just wanted to say that. I don't know if this will get to anybody, but you got a choice. Secret Service man, you got a choice. Military man, you got a choice. FBI man.
I think if it came down to it, like some true anarchy shit, I don't think it would go the way Trump would think it would go. Because if you're telling people grand martial law and kill civilians, like a lot of people, especially military personnel, they went into the army because their families were poor and they wanted to help their families. They wanted to help themselves. Like, they come from the very background that Trump hates. And those and type of people with that mindset.
Yeah. They take our freedom seriously. Like,
yeah.
So this has been their family thing. Like, we're all military people.
So I don't think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to go the way they think it's going to go. Like, a lot of them forget we outnumber them like 1 to 1 million. Literally, the top 1% is a very slim group.
So to the people protecting them, they personal security, choice. I know they're paying you a lot, but remember, this is all choice. The White Refrigerator. Let's get on to our black excellence.
All right, so I am back to my art topic, artist this week. Last week, or week before last, when I did art, I did all women. This time I'm going to do all guys. So our first gentleman is Mr. Sam Gilliam, born in 1933, and he recently passed in 2022. So he lived a really full life, y'all. He was a revolutionary African-American artist known for his pioneering contributions to abstract art. He was a key figure in the Washington Color School movement and gained recognition for his innovative drape paintings, which removed canvases from traditional frames, transforming them into flowing, right, suspended installations, blurred lines between paintings and sculpture. And I'm actually going to condense this a little bit because I do kind of want us to have a little fun. We were serious, so I still want to like do our game. But Gilliam was the first black artist to represent the United States at the Venice, and I apologize if I say this incorrectly, Biennale in 1972, a significant milestone in art history. His work has been featured in prominent institutions such as the Museum of Modern Art, Tate Modern, and the Kunstmuseum Basel. Over his seven-decade career, Gilliam's unique style, innovative techniques, left a lasting legacy, inspiring future generations to challenge and expand their boundaries of artistic expression.
Wow. Okay, 70 years. He don't... dare I say, he looked like he right at 70.
No black, no crack.
You ain't kidding. All right, then. All right. So my first one is Dr. Rebecca Lee Crumpler. Now, Dr. Crumpler was a pioneering African-American physician and author. Raised in Pennsylvania by her aunt who cared for ill townspeople and inspired her to pursue a career in medicine. Crumpler attended the New England Female Medical College, which is now Boston University, where she graduated in 1864, becoming the first African-American woman to earn a medical degree in the United States. She began her medical practice in Boston, primarily serving poor women and children. After the American Civil War, Crumpler moved to Richmond, Virginia to work with the Freedoms Bureau, providing medical care to freed men and freed women. Now, in 1883, she published a book of medical discourses, one of the first medical texts written by an African American. The book focused on maternal and pediatric medical care and was dedicated to nurses and mothers. Now, of course, she faced intense racism and sexism while practicing medicine. Many men physicians did not respect her and often disregarded her medical opinions. Because, why not? If not for the fact she's black, this woman don't know what she's talking about. Crumpler's contributions have been recognized posthumously, though, including the naming of the Rebecca Lee Pre-Health Society at Syracuse University and the Rebecca Lee Society, one of the first medical societies for African-American women. And of course, when it comes to people of old, pictures can be somewhat difficult to find.
So my next individual is Horace Pippin, born in 1888 and passed in 1946. He was a self-taught African-American artist renowned for his deeply expressive works that express themes of war, racism, and African-American life. Born in Westchester, Pennsylvania, Pippin grew up in humble circumstances and enlisted in World War I with an all-black 369th Infantry Regiment. One of them two words, damn. Combat injury left his right arm permanently impaired, but he later adapted using his left hand to guide his right hand, which is pretty cool. This allowed him to paint. He began his artistic career with wood burning and transitioned to oil painting in 1928. Pippin's work often reflected his experiences of war and racial inequities of his time, as seen in the pieces like The End of War, Starting Home, and Mr. Prejudice, which boldly critiqued systemic racism in America. Pippin's art also celebrated the dignity of everyday African-American life through domestic scenes and historic depictions such as John Brown going to his hanging. Wow. His unique style, characterized by bold lines and rich colors, earned widespread acclaim, and his work was showcased in prestigious venues like the Museum of Modern Art, also known as MoMA. Despite lacking formal training, Pippin's art resonated deeply, highlighting the resilience and struggles of African Americans while addressing broader human experiences. His legacy as a pioneer of folk and modernist art continues to inspire conversations about race, identity, and justice in America.
And you said using his left hand to guide his right hand?
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. All right. So my next one is Mr. Robert Smalls. Born in Beaufort, South Carolina, was an American war hero and politician who made significant contributions to the fight for freedom and civil rights. So he was born into slavery and worked as a waiter, hack driver, and rigger in Charleston. On May 13, 1862, Smalls and other enslaved crew members commandeered the Confederate transport ship CSS Planter in Charleston Harbor. They sailed the ship to the Union blockade, securing their freedom and that of their families. Now, Smalls became the first African-American captain in the U.S. Navy, piloting the USS Planter and participating in several battles, including the bombardment of Fort Sumter. After the Civil War, Smalls returned to the Beaufort and became a prominent political leader. He served in South Carolina House of Representatives and the State Senate. He was instrumental in establishing South Carolina's first free and compulsory public school system. Now, this was a groundbreaking achievement as it provided educational opportunities for African-American children who had been previously denied access to education. In the Senate, Smalls held significant positions, including the chairman of the printing committee. This role gave him influence over the dissemination of information, which we all know is important now, and legislative materials. Overall, Smalls' contributions in both chambers of the legislature were pivotal in advancing civil rights and education for African Americans in the post-Civil War era. His legacy continues to inspire and remind us of the importance of perseverance and dedication to social justice.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. He got that swoop. What were they using on their hair back then?
I think lye.
Lye?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was so lying down.
And then my last artiste of this month, of this series, is a gentleman by the name of Jacob Lawrence. Jacob Lawrence was born in 1917 and passed away in 2000. So another person who lived a really long life. He was a renowned African-American artist celebrated for his vibrant depictions of African-American life, history, and culture. Raised in Harlem during the Harlem Renaissance, he drew from inspiration from cultural and artistic energy in the neighborhood. I can only imagine what it was like to live in like Harlem Renaissance, being a kid growing up and seeing all this stuff. His most famous work, the Migration Series, is a 60-panel masterpiece created in the early 1940s that chronicles the Great Migration, during which millions of African Americans moved from the rural South to the urban North. The series brought him national recognition and established him as the first African American artist represented by a major New York gallery. Lawrence also created his works inspired by figures like Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, and John Brown, demonstrating his commitment to celebrating African-American resilience and resistance. Power to the people. Throughout his career, Lawrence emphasized the importance of using art to reflect social realities and inspire dialogue about freedom and dignity. He taught at several art institutions, including the University of Washington, and his work was exhibited at major museums such as the Whitney Museum and also, again, the MoMA. Lawrence's artistic contributions helped bring a greater visibility to African-American experiences and established him as a central figure in American art. His legacy continues to influence artists and historians alike. Yeah.
Nice.
Artists. It's
beautiful. All right. So my last one is Marsha P. Johnson. So, born in 1945 in Elizabeth, New Jersey, Marsha was a trailblazing of American gay liberation activist and self-identified drag queen. Now, Johnson was raised in a religious family and began wearing dresses at a young age, though she faced harassment. After graduating high school, she moved to New York City with $15 and a bag of clothes. Johnson was a prominent figure in the Stonewall Uprising of 1969. A pivotal event in the LGBTQ plus rights movement. Johnson was a prominent figure in the Stonewall Uprising. And this was kind of like a turning point for LGBTQ and LGBTQ rights. Way back then, they marked a new beginning for the gay rights movement in the United States and all around the world. So while a popular myth suggests that she threw the first brick, this has been disproven. Johnson co-founded the radical activist group Street Transvestite Action Revolutionaries with Sylvia Rivera, known as the mayor of Christopher Street. Johnson was a welcoming presence in New York's Greenwich Village. She was also active in the city art scene, modeling for Andy Warhol and performing with the drag troupe Hot Peaches. Beginning in 1987, Johnson was an AIDS activist with ACT UP, advocating for better treatment and awareness of the disease. Now, unfortunately, or tragically, Johnson's body was found floating in the Hudson River in 1992. initially ruled a suicide, this case was later reopened as a possible homicide due to the protests and controversy. But nevertheless, Johnson's contributions to the LGBTQ rights movement have been widely recognized, and she remains an iconic figure in the fight for equality and social justice.
Work. Listen, I know that now that story, I know I have heard many a time. And you know what I hate is that trans people get such a bad rap. And it's like, we as gay people wouldn't have the freedoms that we have if it was not for them.
So it's
like, you know, all this, oh, well, let's take the, like, even I think somewhere in the White House, Trump removed, like, on one of the websites, they removed the T out of it. Mm-hmm. So now it's just LGB. And I'm just like, whatever, girl. I still stand beside y'all because I know y'all stand beside us. And ain't shit changed.
And no harm, no foul. Like, damn. Just... No, just because you don't understand why people the way they are doesn't mean that they're any less human than you. I ain't no better than a crackhead on the street. I'll tell anybody that.
Listen, not only does it not make you any better, like, who's to say that that person couldn't offer you something or teach you something? You don't know where your life lessons could come from, so you always have to be open to human experiences. Everybody has something to offer, and it may be something to offer you.
Now it's time for the game, so we can smile a little bit. All right, first question I got. Who is Bev Olati? He got more head than he got body.
Why do I know this?
You do know it very well. It's from a popular cult classic black movie. Named after a day of the week.
Friday.
From Friday. Definitely.
I was in there like, wait a minute.
Like, I know it. I just don't know where I know it from.
Y'all, I'm telling y'all, I'm here today. I'm just tired. It happens. I'm human. Mm-hmm. We still having a good time, though. So this one is... What genre of music originated from where we're from? I mean, you could say all of them, but it's a very specific sound.
I don't know what it's called. Is it this? Is this the question I've asked you before? Because there's a very specific thing that happens down here, and I don't know the name of it.
You know the name of this because they started calling it this in the early 2000s.
Is it rap music?
It's a form
of rap music?
Yes.
Trap music?
There we go. Boom.
Okay. There we go. So the one I'm talking about is like the that Southern soul, maybe? It's like party. Slow down country R&B. Here they go with them goddamn trucks again.
I heard it clear too.
Fred, they so goddamn loud. Okay, but anywho, like that song, Hell No to the No. It's one of those types of songs. I don't know what that's called.
Bluesy type sound.
Yeah, but it's like party music.
It's still blues though.
Okay.
That come in a whole bunch of different genres.
Yeah.
Or not genres, but a whole bunch of different sounds.
That's true. All right. So what's something you can find at every black church? A sassy choir director, a bougie first lady, a group of praise dancers, or a luxury car in the pastor's parking space.
This is such a messy ass question. I gotta go with a sassy choir director. Like, is that the right
it's
answer?
A sassy choir director.
Listen, they come out and you be like,
every time.
For y'all to hate gay people, they should be leading your music.
All the time. That's Roseanne, because they be leading more than music.
Come
sometimes.
On, girls. We worship you. Hey, Pastor. Like.
Yeah. That's because they lead more than the music. Anywho, what's your question?
Okay. this is where we're no longer inviting people to, because black people always be
the
invited.
Cookout. Ain't nobody coming.
What's the other word for a cookout?
The barbecue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
Y'all, that shit's been revoked in 2025.
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
Unless you look like us.
Yes. Undeniably, unmistakably, right. But nobody. Okay. Where do you find plastic grocery bags in the black home? The recycling bin?
Absolutely not.
A cabinet under the sink?
Mm-hmm.
The trash can or the junk drawer?
It is absolutely the cabinet under the sink.
It's definitely the cabinet under the sink.
Walmart, Dollar because Tree, what? Dollar General, Kroger, Publix, all of them going to be up under that sink.
Some of those bags are older than us.
You be needing them, there. Though. You be we needing sure them. Do.
And we use them.
Yep.
We definitely use them. All right. What you got?
This person call you a smut foot. Ain't that what you
said? An old lady.
A old lady who do what though? What you used to go get with them chiclets?
That damn candy lady. Evil ass candy lady.
What you say? She called you a smut foot or something like that? I was like, what?
Yeah, she definitely called it a smut foot and couldn't get up out. I don't remember. Have y'all? That's not nice.
Listen, she was big, wasn't she?
Y'all ever seen that big vampire in the first Blade that got burned, that he was burning up in that pit and he couldn't move?
Fred, why was me and my homegirl, shout out to Brittany, I know she be listening sometimes, we was talking about my 600-pound life, and we was talking about, like, losing weight and stuff, and I was like, I just gotta get some of this weight off my body, because, like, it's affecting my quality of life. But I was like, do you remember that it was an episode of my 600-pound life where the dude had to spray his wife or his girlfriend, whatever she was, him down on the back porch with a water hose? I'm talking about, Fred, I'm going to send you the video.
You sent me that.
I did.
You did send me that.
And then she reminded me of another one I had forgot about. And it was this black woman. This mofo was frying chicken in her bed. Like, laying in her bed with a little machine hooked up on the bed frying chicken. I just know that room smelled crazy. I know. It smelled like
smell crazy.
Ass and grease. That bedroom smell like doom 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 doom. Big booty, love that chicken at Popeyes. That's what it smelled like, all at the same time.
That's a safety hazard. Like, what if something had caught on, like a grease fire started? Was she able, like, to move around?
Fred, she probably would have been trying to eat the chicken while it was burning her ass up.
No.
Yeah, I don't know if I would want to be here anymore if I got that big. And I'm sure as hell ain't small now. I got on that new scale and that program that me and Addie done joined, and that bitch hurt my feelings.
Hurt my feelings bad. I was like, oh God.
But I needed it. I needed it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you gotta see the truth. What I told you, we talked about this early in some of the early episodes. I read it last year, I think right around when we started the show, but somebody said the greatest kindness you can tell someone is the truth. And like, that includes telling yourself the truth. Like, if you're not honest with yourself, then you cannot fix whatever the situation is. So, yes, child.
That's true.
Shit don't get better till you acknowledge that it's a problem. Whose turn is it? I think it's yours.
I think it's my turn. All right. So, who is the first black female senator of the state of California?
Oh, come on. Yeah.
Just wanted to throw, I think on our final, the next week is the final one for Black History.
Damn.
I'll do one on her and Beyonce.
Work.
Because why not?
This is a term that started in the gay community, specifically the gay male community. And
slay.
Okay. What do we do? When we're clowning someone and you say something crazy.
What do we do?
It's a term that we say that we're doing. But you specifically hear gay men and trans women say this.
It's not spilling the tea.
Mm-mm.
We're doing something crazy.
Think about a tree.
Snap? Mm-hmm. I'm about to get my gay card revoked.
You're not that, and that sounds crazy, you're not that type of gay, but you're really not that type of gay. But you know exactly what it is. I'm gonna see, I'm trying to think of another word I can use. Okay, I can kind of spin off because I can't say one word, but I can kind of insinuate it. So what does a pitcher do? A baseball pitcher.
Swing?
No, what does a pitcher do?
Oh, the pitcher. They throw the ball.
I can't say that word. So think about what you just said and then tree. Throw.
I feel like Patrick Starr right now. They throw wood. Be throwing that wood around.
Friend, you finna be so disappointed in yourself.
I really am. What is it?
They throw shade.
Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. Get out.
I couldn't say insult, throw, disrespect your son. So I was like, get okay, out. So what does a son do? And you said
tree. God damn it. Damn it.
It's all right, friend. It's all right.
Get out of here. Just because of that, I'm going to ask you the messiest question in this deck.
Oh, God.
Listen, and this one actually doesn't have an answer.
At this point, in my good old years, I don't mind being a little controversial. So ask away.
Which celebrity has the biggest teeth?
Wait. Hold on, because I already know two people who are going to be on there. Ooh. And I... Oh, God.
Who?
This is so terrible. I am so sorry, y'all. Me and Atticus have had this conversation about these big-ass teeth.
Who's when it got them big-ass teeth? Even your smile's still going outside.
So maybe. One of them is absolutely going to be NeNe Leakes.
She's definitely on this.
Bitch.
And the other one, you probably know one of the other ones. You know at least one of the other ones.
Another one is definitely going to probably be Steve Harvey.
He is definitely another one. The other my two, God. I didn't really think of K. Michelle and Gucci Mane.
I was thinking of Gucci Mane. I wouldn't have thought about K. Michelle, really? But I was definitely thinking of Gucci Mane. When it comes to biggest teeth, I gotta go with Steve. Steve is known for them big ass, and I don't know if they veneers or not, because he had big ass teeth for a long time.
Yeah, and I was about to say he does have super big teeth, but I feel like they kind of fit his. He got a big head too. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like I was gonna say, I don't. That's even like Kay Michelle. I mean, I guess she got veneers, but like I don't even remember what her old teeth looked like.
Yeah, I never thought as her teeth of being big, and I don't. I guess I don't really.
Her career is over. All over the world.
Bag lady. She's a prune. Get her husband out the room.
Bring back that television.
Out the room. Boy, them first couple seasons of Love and Hip Hop Atlanta was off. They were crazy.
Amazing.
That was some good TV.
That was some good mess.
Yes.
All right. So, let's see. Oh, okay. There's other words I can use for this one. This one should be easy. This is where men go to get their hair done.
The barbershop.
Yeah. They was like, I can't say haircut, fade, chair, or razor. I was like, but y'all say any of them words.
Exactly. The barbershop where the craziest conversations are had that even exist.
The barbershop is a wild place.
It is a wild place, and nobody's safe, just so you know.
Listen, as a lesbian who, I guess, associates with a lot of dudes, I'm here to tell y'all right now that men are just as messy, if not messier, than women. I have sat and heard some of these barbershop conversations and have been gagged. So, I'm like...
Found out stuff about people I ain't even know.
I didn't want to know. I didn't need to know all these things.
That's also where I learned that men try to trap women with babies. That is the first place I had ever heard that. Didn't know it was a thing. Yep. Okay. So, another slightly messy question, but it's going to be your... It's your preference. Okay. I feel like I know who you're going to choose. Who is the best group to ever come out of Atlanta? TLC.
Outkast.
Okay, I ain't even going to finish the rest because I already knew who you was going to
pick. Who's the other options? But I mean...
Escape.
I'll put them in order.
And... I got TLC, Outkast, Escape, and Migos. I don't think either one of us were going to choose Migos.
Yeah, so if I have to go in order, y'all judge me. I don't give a fuck. I like Escape, but TLC was absolutely that girl group. Shout out to me doing my Beyonce, I mean, not Beyonce, but T-Boz impression last week.
Agree. So
Listen, I'm going to go put them on right now because they had bangers. They had bangers. Especially Crazy Sexy Cool album. Oh my God. Yeah.
True.
So yeah, I would go Outkast, TLC, Escape, Migos. That's my list.
I would say that's a decent order.
Yeah.
Outkast probably would have been last for me just because, not last, they would have been above Migos. Only because of the type of music that I listen to.
That makes sense.
Typically. So yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, huge Outkast fan. Okay, so we just got through talking about that particular area. What do they call that particular area where we're from in general?
The South? The but Dirty South?
There we go.
Okay.
The Dirty South.
The Dirty South.
Dirty, dirty.
At which event is someone from your family most likely to start some mess? A baby shower. Reunion. That actually isn't an option.
Oh.
Yep. A, the baby shower. B, a funeral. The barbecue or a wedding? We know the answer.
Funeral. It is absolutely.
It's definitely the funeral.
Bitch, what nigga? We don't know why you stupid ass.
And I'm mostly going to say this, and you see these type of videos all over social media all the time, that one in particular where that girl got up there, and you, I don't even know why you here, because you ain't fuck with her while she was alive, so I don't even know why you here right now.
I need that energy, though. I need that energy. Don't you come mourn me when you didn't give me my flowers while I was here on this earth, girl. Fuck you.
Exactly. That's why I don't even want a funeral for you. Y'all go to a park and have a celebration. I don't want nobody sad. Y'all better be playing Megan Thee Stallion. Play all of this 2017 to 2025 bad bitch music. Everybody have a great time.
All right. So this is a type of music.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. I probably shouldn't have said music. Well, fuck it. I already said it. It is akin to the South, but not just any particular part of the South, a very specific part of the South.
Country?
No.
Even is a little it our bit music?
Oh yeah. Oh it's yeah. Our music.
Okay.
So I'm trying to give you a hint what I get. Of course it's our music, little baby.
Oh Lord. That Louisiana bounce. Is it called bounce?
Biggity, biggity, bounce. Okay. Biggity, bounce. Biggity.
Bring Black, the Black Lady sketch comedy show.
Listen, shout out to Robin TV. Come back to TV. Yes. We miss you.
Please. Okay. Last one. You definitely gonna know this. What song is the ultimate twerk anthem? I probably don't even have to actually say the song for you.
You're working with some man.
You want to see everybody run to the floor 30 years later?
Back knees bad, back bad. We don't give a fuck. Yes. Listen, I'm a
as
whole.
As soon as it come on.
Mass presenting stud. These arms is finna go up and these knees finna go down. I might not get back up.
Been a windmill.
Listen. We take it over for the 99 and the 2000. As soon as you hear that.
Yep.
It's a few Black songs. That and then a wobble. Wobble, baby. Wobble, baby. Wobble, baby. Yeah.
Okay, the other songs that were whistle while you twerk.
That's go ahead, one. Get started. Make that pussy fart and whistle. Watch, see, yeah. I be trying to
it's
remember.
Not
I'm
a,
supposed
it's
to be
not
hard.
The ultimate. Doodle Brown. I wanna.
See, I can't. Yep. This is testing my stud. I can't listen to this because I wanna get ignorant.
They and Tootsie Roll. Those were the other
cotton
options.
Candy, sweet gold. Let me see that Tootsie Roll.
That was when everybody used to dance hard.
Saint Butterfly is the Tootsie Roll. Friend mm-hmm. dance. Listen, they used to dance hard as hell in the 90s.
That's true. All the motherfuckers were sweaty. That's why they was all so skinny.
God damn. Please, calm
sweating
down.
Sweating like a motherfucker.
That's why they fine as hell now. We be seeing these people in their 40s and 50s. I know you fucking lying. What do you mean you 48? You look younger than me.
Beautiful. But
Kelly Rowland just celebrated her 44th birthday. I swear to God, I was like.
Did you see the pictures with the green? They were so beautiful.
Fran, you know. I have a very specific type. I love all Black women. I love them down. Wait a minute. Hold on.
What does
hold
that
on.
Have to do with anything?
Friend, I finally saw a video of Drake with them bullet holes.
You saw it?
Friend,
how did it make you feel?
He looked like a fajita from Applebee's. I was like, if y'all don't turn. You know, they bring out the sizzler.
Yep.
The smoke wasn't even coming out right. I was like, if y'all don't get this fool. Out of here. This is embarrassing.
It is. I hope he's doing okay with some good, genuine people around him that are taking care of him right now. Because after the Super Bowl, friend, contingency plan.
I think Kendrick is done. I think Kendrick is actually, because he said game over. But this was Drake's fault, because Drake said a few months ago that it was going to be a round two. Kendrick was like, no. This is the most insane full circle beef I ever seen in my life. He whipped your ass horribly, mind you. Won 5 Grammys for it. Performed it at the Super Bowl. It literally can't, there's not a bigger timeline than that.
You're missing a step. Not only won 5 Grammys, he whipped your ass with a number one song, a diss song that went number one. That was the actual song of the year. No matter what the Grammy said, that song was the song of the year.
Yeah.
This is probably actually going to be like the number one.
He won song of the year.
Yeah. Like, this is going to be, no matter what, like, this is going to be a pep rally song always.
They not like us. Oh, yeah. It's a California anthem. Like,
yeah. It's not ever going to not play. And everyone is going to remember how this song even came to be as the most. The most entertaining, the best rap beef to ever happen in history.
Friend, that video that I sent you with that white boy shaking like a Shih Tzu poodle mix.
No, I don't. This game is three.
The funniest part of that video was his girlfriend not giving a fuck and still playing it. That's always saying why. This had to be like a skit or something, because I refuse to believe in my mind that, like, I know Aubrey Angels is bad. Like, they bad. But I refuse to believe in my mind that this is where we're at.
No, it kind of is. Because you see some of those, like, the talking heads, some of the podcast guys are, and the way they're like, oh my God, Kendrick's Super Bowl was trash. Like, no, it really wasn't. At this point, this is kind of like people that say Beyonce can't sing.
Right.
Nothing you say matters.
You, like, missed the whole purpose of it. This was more of a performance art kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't...
And you know that.
And he's a rapper. Like, he's not finna be doing what pop singers and R&B girlies and pop star. He's not Usher. He's not gonna get up there and dance and do flips and skate across. That's not what this is. So, the fact that he had a theme, and the theme was solid... and very black. That's another thing. Like, they just, it's just that he's very black. At the end of the day, there's no other way to put it. He's very black, and that very blackness has led him to be successful. And there are a certain demographic of people who just don't understand that. And it's just like, baby, the problem is for us. It was never for you to understand. Mm-hmm. Which he has stated 26 times over. And for the ones who do, thank you. You know, I mean, congratulations. This is what it is. You understand. But, like, yeah, I've seen the conversations, and I'm just like, baby, this, it wasn't for you. This was never for you. And that's okay. That's okay. That know what's true. For you. Know what ain't for you. This was not for you. And that's okay. You'll be okay.
Yep. And y'all know what it is. It's okay if you don't like it.
Yeah.
And you don't like it because you're biased and you like the other person.
And some people just don't like that type of music. That is okay. There is a very niche group of us who can sit there and listen to conscious rap music all the time. I just be sitting there crying listening to that shit all the time. It's absolutely not for everybody. See?
You ain't lying, because it absolutely is not for me. Like, I can listen to it, I give it a few plays, but at the end of the day, I be trying to escape with music, so then I go back to ass-shaking music.
I
seconds later.
Love it. So, like, it again, it's not for everybody. I said this before on the show, I said it a couple of weeks ago, I think, where I was like, you know, everything has its place. We listen to Uncle Luke and Tupac at the same goddamn time. So, like, it's everything for everybody. And I have this little conspiracy, and I'm going to wrap it up here, or at least wrap my part of it up here. I said, me and Addie was talking, and I was like, I think Drake would have stood a better chance if he had came out swinging with what he knows versus trying to match Kendrick. You came out in something that you couldn't, that was never your lane. That was never your lane. If you had a came out on some Not Like Us type stuff, which there's a separate issue to that, you can't create something like that because it does not come from you authentically. Everything that Kendrick was creating came from him authentically in that moment. So there's that. But if he had to try to attack Kendrick from like a pop bop standpoint, kind of like they did with who was that? Remy Ma, when they kind of like gangbang Remy Ma because they knew that Nicki couldn't handle her on her own, and they did a
handled Remy Ma.
Oh no, I mean, no, people will never admit this, but Sheether hurt Nicki Minaj
bad, and she honestly never recovered from that.
Nope,
she has been acting a Kanye West ever since then.
Like, even people who like was down with Nicki, they looked at her because it was like you had to get Wayne and Drake to help you on No Frauds, and No Frauds was just like a radio success. It did exactly what we thought it was going to do. We kind of figured that because we know Remy Ma isn't anywhere near as big as you are. Mm-hmm. But if we talking about a true artistic point to point, face to face, off type rap battle, who won this in the streets type shit, mm-hmm. not only was it not even close, you were bodied. And I feel like that was kind of the same thing. Like, if Drake had just like stayed in his lane, maybe mm-hmm. he would have had some more leverage, but he tried to be all deep. That's not your lane, buddy. And then the difference is, while you can't do what Kendrick can do what you can do. So that's when you really lost the battle, because it was like, mm-hmm. that's the worst part to me about Not Like Us, is the fact that Kendrick slightly stepped out of himself a little bit. And I can't even say like that, because he's made plenty of bangers.
And made it a very digestible.
Yeah, he was like, oh, okay, so that's the thing. I can make a song that the public will fuck with. And did it.
I've done
and
it just plenty like, of times before.
That's the part that people are missing. And it's like, did it. And it is commercially, in my opinion, probably his biggest track ever. Now, of course, I have my personal favorites.
Did you see that Humble is two times Diamond now, I think?
Love that.
Like, the first song in history, I want to say, to be that.
Love that for him. Again, this could have went so many different ways, but I'm happy it went the way it did, because I'm Kendrick biased. I've been a Kendrick fan for a long time. And for Drake to even open his mouth and say that nobody want to listen to slave music and all this. So a black man making music about black people empowerment and bettering themselves is slave. Like, it's cool
Have
if you want
heard
to listen
man
to
man at the Garden.
Right. It's cool. Like, if you want to shake ass, because like, who doesn't like shake ass music? But like, to condescend and drop down on somebody else's stuff,
mm-hmm.
especially when they're better than you, probably wasn't the smartest move. But hey, what do I know?
True. I'm gonna end this, but I have one more opinion to give you after I end it, because I don't want to get ate up. I don't know what's been chewing on me, but anyway, y'all. Thank y'all for coming again, and we'll see y'all next time.
Peace.
Bye.